What's, if you want lead singing, Jim, is that what you said? I got the, you can come up here and lead these songs in just a moment. I'll let you. Luke chapter 2, stand with me, please. I think we've read this a couple times. Yesterday, when we were at Faith's, I got to read from Matthew chapter 1, so today I wanted to read from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city.
And Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of our Savior and our Lord. And we thank you for the privilege we have to, I know it's a day after, but once again to read the Christmas story. And to sing some Christmas songs, and once again to be reminded of our Savior coming into the world. What a wonderful time it is to celebrate, and I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be tuned towards you tonight, and that we would worship you for who you are. You are the Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jim, I got 3 songs. For whatever reason, I have developed a frog all of a sudden. Well, we've been studying in here the book of Proverbs, so I'm going to use a verse in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. I mentioned this in Sunday school on Sunday. Not all of you are obviously were in my Sunday school class, but we talked about, in Sunday school, different objections that people have that Christians have, why they should not celebrate Christmas. And we talked about different things that people say, and then, of course, I mentioned some people don't think, my pants are, some people do not think we ought to have a Christmas tree. I think that's a stretch, but we have them. Some people don't think, and I agree with this, I even talked a little bit about Santa Claus and that we ought not to teach our children that there's a Santa Claus. So anyway, maybe you, like me as a child, you'd sit down and you'd create a list with all your gifts. I lost my good glasses again. I got to find them. So I got to look over the top of these. I got a lot of backup. So I would sit down and write Santa Claus a list. And I'd address the thing and give the letter to my mom, put it in an envelope, and she's going to take care of it. And she took care of it all right. All those years my parents deceived me and lied to me. Oh, it was awful. I was crushed when I learned that there wasn't a Santa Claus. Couldn't believe it. But I would sit down and I'd write out this list of things that I wanted, and full of anticipation that on Christmas morning, because I figured that I was nice most of the time, that I figured by that Christmas would come along and that I would, underneath the tree, come downstairs and find everything I wanted there. Didn't always happen, but I did get a lot of gifts on Christmas. But since I've learned that they're 7, 8 years old, there is no such thing as a Santa Claus. No one honors God lying to our children and teaching that there is a Santa Claus. But then I have found out as I've got older, I don't write a list of gifts anymore. In fact, if my kids ask me, what would you like for Christmas? It really is hard for me to come up with things that I would like for Christmas. I have everything I want, pretty much everything I want and way more than I need. I have everything I need. I have way more than that. But I wonder, in fact, I have more, I see more enjoyment, get more enjoyment giving people gifts and seeing a smile come on their face than I do receiving gifts. You younger people that are with us tonight, you haven't reached that stage yet, but you will one day. That's part of maturity and it's part of growing up. So when you give somebody a gift and you see the joy that it brings them and the happiness that it brings them, you're thinking, I might never reach that point. Well, you will reach that point. Because we're Christians that are here tonight, and Christ is the real reason for the season, his birth being the true celebration of this time of year, I wonder if Jesus were to write out a Christmas list, what he would put on his list. So let me give you just a few thoughts on that tonight. Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I think the first thing that the Lord would say, you know what I'd like from you? I'd like your heart. If Jesus could write out a Christmas list, I think the first thing he'd put on there, he'd say, my son, give me thine heart. Obviously, that begins with salvation. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never been saved, Jesus wants you to give him your heart in the area of salvation. Remember, he died for you. He offers the gift of eternal life. He doesn't force that upon you, but he offers you the gift. It's a free gift. He offers you the gift of eternal life, and you can receive Christ. You can accept, put him in your, we use the phrase, ask him into your heart, but you can give him your heart. Not only that, you can give him your heart because he wishes for you to love him with all of your heart. He wants you to give him all your heart. He wants you to love him. He wants me to be on fire for him. He wants you to be on fire from him and to turn your affections from the world to him and turn your affections off of the world into him and his word. That's what he wants. If you were to write out a Christmas list, I think the first thing Jesus would say on the top of his list would say, you know what I want? My son, give me thy heart. Just give me your heart. Live for me. Love me. Worship me. Adore me. Bow down before me. I think that'd be the first thing on his list. The second thing I think he'd have on his list is this. Maybe he'd ask for our homes. If you remember the story when Hannah had baby Samuel, and she gave, had to think of who it was for a minute, she gave Samuel back to the Lord, and she said, Lord, here's my boy, and you can use him any way that you want to use him. She saw fit to give him to the Lord. We as adults, we ought to give our children back to the Lord. Children are a precious gift, they really are. But they are only on loan to us from God. He wants parents to give them back to God. You know, if God called your child to a foreign mission field, you should be excited about that. If God said, I'm going to use them Over here, you may only get an opportunity to see them once every 4 years. Maybe I know Shane goes to Peru as a missionary. He only comes home once every 4 or 5 years. But Ed and Bev actually travel over there once a year anyway to spend some time with them. You might do something like that. But basically, you won't see them as much as you do now. You know, it's not like, well, they're down in Delaware. I can drive down to see them. Well, they're not there if they're across the pond. You just don't drive over there and see them. But you should be willing to give God your children. And may God help us as parents to give our children back to the Lord and put Him first in our homes. And maybe God would desire beyond that our homes, it would be a home that would honor Him and glorify Him and worship Him, to where we have things in our house set aside so we on purpose have our homes directed toward the things of God. Thirdly, I think our Lord would ask for our lives. Look at, let me put it like this. How about our bodies? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Most of us can quote this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what we can give the Lord? We can give the Lord our bodies. That means I'm going to use my hands for the glory of God. I'm going to use my eyes for the glory of God. I'm going to use my feet for the glory of God. I'm going to use my ears for the glory of God. I'm going to use my lips for the glory of God as I praise Him in song and as I praise Him and by telling other people about Him. On His list, He'll say, give me your body. I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's what the word beseech means, just beg, I beg you. And so that's what the Lord would have on this list. We're coming to the end of 2012. And as we get to the end of this year, and sometimes we reminisce what happened the year before. Did you serve God this year, this past year? Did you serve the Lord in 2012? Did you try to reach out to the lost in 2012? Did you, I don't know how many of you made it a goal to read your Bible through in 2012. Did you attain your goal? Did you read your Bible through? Did you read your Bible more days in 2012 than you did not read your Bible in 2012? Did you use your eyes for the glory of God to where you could pick up His precious word and read it for His honor? Did you do that? Did you use your lips for Him as you come into church services and sing and praise, and as you sit down and just give Him thanks and praise for all that He's blessed you with? Did you serve the Lord over the past year? God wants us to be His laborers and to use our hands and our feet and our eyes and every other part of our bodies for His glory. That's what He would ask on His list. Number four, I think that might be on the Lord's list. Go back to Psalm 29, verse 2. The Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory, due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. You know what would be on His list? Most likely He would say, I want you to honor me. Give unto the Lord the glory, due His name. God wants us to praise Him. God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to adore Him. He wants us to stand in awe of Him. He wants us to praise Him publicly, and He wants us to praise Him privately, and determine this year, coming up, 2013, that you will give Him the praise and the glory and the honor that is due His name. That's the Lord's, a short Christmas list. But I guess you could sum it all up and say this. The Lord wants all of us. He wants us from the top of our head to the bottom of our to the tip of our toes. He wants us all. And He wants us to worship Him. And He wants us to love Him. And He wants us to adore Him. There really is no reason why we don't. He wants us to have Him. I guess you could put at the top of His list, if you were to change it, you'd say, I just want you to make me number one. Just make God number one. That's what I want. You know, we can do that. We ought to do that. We ought to do that every day of our life. We ought to make the Lord Jesus Christ number one. We can do, as it said in Romans chapter 12, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to present myself to you a living sacrifice. We can say, like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. I give you myself, whatever you wish to do with me. We can, as parents, say, okay, Lord, here are my children. You do with them as you see fit to do with them, but they're only on loan from you, and I'm going to give them back to you. My house is going to be a house that glorifies you. My home is going to be a home that will honor you. And we can do all those things. I think as we draw Christmas to a close, although my family, my dad's side of the family, my brothers and sisters, they actually plan on celebrating Christmas this year, January 6th. I thought maybe they could wait a little bit later and get it toward Valentine's Day. It might be nice to kill two birds with one stone or something, you know. But so we haven't even done all of our Christmas stuff yet, which the kids don't mind stretching it all out anyway. But let's just give the Lord everything that we can, and let's honor him and worship him. Well, Father, Christmas is a beautiful time of year. It's a wonderful time of year. We can give gifts to the people that we love. And because we love you, we can give back to you everything that we have. We can give you our heart because we love you. We can give you our honor because you desire it. We can worship you. We can adore you. We can stand in awe of you. We can give you our bodies so that you can use them for your honor and for your glory. And we won't use them by defilement or debauchery or anything like that. And Father, I pray that you will take us and use us for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, that we could give, I mean, you gave us the greatest Christmas gift ever. You gave us your son. And we can give back a portion. We can give ourselves. And so I pray we will. In Jesus' name, amen.